It's 7 o'clock. I'd like to call the Zoning Board of Adjustment meeting to order. You all rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. For the record, this is Candia Zoning Board of Adjustment meeting, October 26, 2021. Sitting at the, on the board today is, to my left is Judith Zott. I'm Bob Petron. Boyd Chivers, Tony Steinmetz sitting in for Ron Al and Mark Remakaitis. Lisa Galicia is the recording secretary this evening. Lisa, would you be so kind to read off the lead case for us, please?
Case 21-010. Applicant Ronald W. and Beverly C. Cole, 95 Diamond Hill Road, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Owner same. Property location same. Map 409, lot 161. For a special exception under Article 5, Section 5.02A2, Table of Use Regulations, type of land use residential. Intend to legalize per the Town of Candia zoning ordinance the previously constructed 652-square-foot accessory dwelling unit within our home.
Very good, thank you. And the applicant is present?
Yes.
What's your name, please?
Beverly Cole.
Thank you. Butters have been notified?
Yes.
No butters present at this time. So if you'd be so kind, why don't you pull up a chair, join us at the table, and let us know what's going on, please.
Alrighty.
Thanks. Kind of informal here, so we'll just go through what the situation is, see if we can't come to some solution.
So what? I've had,
go ahead. No, so what have you got?
I've had this apartment, it's an in-law apartment, mm-hmm. I guess you call it, in my home since I purchased it, and that's how I purchased it. And I don't rent it out or anything. I just have family sometimes that stay there mm-hmm. for a little while, off and on,
yeah.
all the 25 years or so that I've been there. So I just was moving a shower upstairs because we only had a shower downstairs, and my husband and I can't do stairs that well anymore, and whatever, I won't get into all the medical, but anyway, so that's what we were doing, was having an electrician put some lights upstairs and put a nice shower and redo that. Yeah. So that's why this all came about, saying it's not legal, and I said, what do you mean it's not legal? I don't want to do anything illegal.
Right.
So anyway, they said I had to apply to get it legalized.
Sure.
But
so this is all within your existing home?
Yes. It's just it's a raised ranch.
Yeah.
So it's just part of it. The other part is still his workshop or the furnace room and the garage. It's just, it always had, when I purchased the place, a little kitchen. Yeah. I didn't put anything in.
Did you remove it?
I didn't do anything.
So it always stayed status quo. You had a kitchen and perhaps a lavatory?
Yep, there's a bathroom downstairs and a little bedroom. Mm-hmm. It's really small. And then just a little kitchen area with some cabinets and a sink and a little slider. So it's kind of like a little living room. Mm-hmm. But I didn't change anything and I didn't add anything.
Will your septic system accommodate another bedroom?
It's not another bedroom. My house has always been a three-bedroom, two-bath.
And this is not going to be a bedroom down there?
It's not an additional. It's always the same.
Oh, I see.
I've always had three bedrooms.
All right.
I have two upstairs and one downstairs. And
the one downstairs is the one that's here?
Yeah. So it's always been a three-bedroom, two-bath. So the bathroom is still down there, and I have one upstairs. The only thing I did was put a shower upstairs. It didn't have a shower. It just had a big jacuzzi tub that we can't even get out of yet. So we were just adding a walk-in shower upstairs, and we left the bathroom downstairs, as it's always been since I've been there.
And I assume you have enough parking on the site for another car. You're a Diamond Hill Road.
So yeah, I have a horseshoe driveway, and then I have a cement area. I don't know why they ever cemented it. It probably was going to be a garage. I don't know. But it's always been cemented. Mm. So it does have a nice side area that people can park if they wanted to.
Sure.
And you can walk in the back door. There is a back door.
Mm. Well, this is perfect.
Yeah.
I don't get any easier than this.
Yeah. So, any questions from the board and comments? There's no butters for questions. Mark, go ahead.
Has the building inspector been to the property to look at code issues regarding I guess the question I have is, it's a, we are approving it in 2021, and it was built pre-1996.
Right.
So does this, does the space meet the 2021 requirements of fire exits, window size, that kind of stuff? Because it is a new use at this point, in a sense of new legal use.
Legal, and yeah, it's not new use.
The second question I would have is, I believe we have a requirement that we need to show a record in writing that the septic system is actually approved for the number of bedrooms for this house. Now, I understand it was built in 1987, maybe, 85?
86.
In that range, mid-80s. So again, what was the original septic design? And for other properties we've had in town, of whenever we've always, I think we've pretty much approved most of these, to be perfectly honest with you, but we've always had some kind of documentation that the septic system was in writing, that there was a three-bedroom design in your case, or whatever a number of bedrooms were appropriate in any case, and that if and if the existing system did not meet that new requirement, then there was a plan on file with the state that said if anything went wrong with the system, there was one ready to go. So I don't know today what your septic system is. I know that if they've added a bedroom in the lower level, that suggests but doesn't prove that the house was originally a two-bedroom home. I don't know that because there's no records that I have access to that tells me different. And we have a three-bedroom home. So I am. One of the things that I usually am concerned about is, is the septic system, does it meet the requirement? Because eventually you're going to retire and you're going to go to Florida.
I already did retire.
There you go. Congratulations. And
someone
else is going to move into that house at some point, and they're going to perhaps utilize it in a way different than you do, and I don't know what that septic system approval is for at this point. So that's a concern for me.
Well, wouldn't they have to get it approved if they want to do
whatever? Really, it is. It's, unless I'm corrected here, but it's part of the approval. In order to approve it, there is supposed to be a record that the system will support the bedrooms. And I understand that you've got three bedrooms, but I don't know what that approval is for. Was it a two-bedroom house, a three-bedroom house? I really don't know the answer to that.
Assume that it's for a three-bedroom house?
I could assume a lot. Yes, I understand.
I think you have to assume.
Built as two bedrooms, three bedrooms.
I think you have to assume that they had a building permit.
I guess my point would be, Boyd, that I don't know that, and I'm uncomfortable making an assumption, that's all. I am very hopeful and optimistic that this is a three-bedroom approval, but I don't have that in front of me. I haven't seen that.
But why don't you? I mean, it's not my problem. I've been here for 25 years. I bought it that way, so.
Well, I understand that. I may disagree with that statement that it's. I don't want it to be anybody's problem, but as the applicant,
I know.
As the applicant, it's your responsibility to bring the documentation to the table, and that's my comment on the septic system.
Nothing's grandfathered as far as being there for 25 years.
As far as I know.
Yeah, because I guess what I hear Mark saying is that we don't know if originally the house was built for two bedrooms or if it was built with three bedrooms.
Right. There's no building permits back that far that I've been through that I can't even find the original building permit. She can't either.
I mean, I wouldn't have it because
it predated by 10 years your occupancy.
Right.
That information typically is not passed along, although maybe it should be at the time of the
thing, other thing, the thing with the septic is that I think the paperwork has to state that if the septic fails, that whatever they have now they're allowed to keep, but if it fails, then they have to upgrade.
And with an ADU, it says that on the new septic designs with ADU, because an ADU is actually 1.5 bedrooms. It's considered that. And the town of Candia is not a town that is required to keep that on file. So it's not the town's responsibility to have that.
So what do we do then?
May I ask a question, just for clarification for Lisa's statement? Are you saying that when there's an ADU, it has to be, if you have an ADU, mm-hmm. the bedroom design has to be 1.5 bedrooms per bedroom?
A new ADU design, the ones that we've had come in,
yes.
Say on the bottom that it is for 3-bedroom home and ADU, because they consider an ADU 1.5 bedrooms. I've talked to Jason Franklin, I actually talked to him today about this case, and she's already reached out to him about having a possible new design done. That's gonna be up to her. But he did say that what she has right now is not up to code.
Let me ask a question. Is it a town requirement, this 1.5, or is this a state requirement?
So what did Jason Franklin say again?
As far as the amount of bedrooms that she has a 1,000-gallon tank,
yeah.
And it's not per code. She needs at least 1,250 gallons
okay.
for what she has up to 4 bedrooms. That's what they would need currently. So she needs another design on file.
Right, just a design, though. There's just no the requirement design. That you put a new system
that's
in.
That's right, unless yeah. hers fails because it's been working, but she does need that design.
So, well, if that's the case, that's the way it is.
So what's the design? They just draw up what it would
they're
be?
Gonna, they're going to come to your home, or a designer. They're going to dig up what's called a test pit. And they're going to pour water in that the test pits to a certain depth. And they're going to pour a fixed amount of water into that pit. And they're going to measure the time, how long it takes that water to drain down. And they look at the soil types and... By looking at soil types and referring to some charts and looking at the time it took for that water to drain, the designer, who's a state licensed person, will calculate how many gallons of effluent your property will accept. And they make the leach fields bigger or smaller depending on what those numbers say.
But I don't know what size it is now.
That's
we just heard 1,000, didn't we?
No, that's a 1,000-gallon
well,
tank.
Right.
It goes together. The new rules, maybe 10 years ago, the 1,250 rule came in for tanks for 3 bedrooms or more. The leach field size is really a function of what the designer says it has. If it's a regular stone and pipe, there are certain sizes. But there are other types of systems that can go in that need a smaller footprint, as they say. So the designer makes the final decision as to the leaching area. The tank is a state requirement. And, you know, if it's 3 bedrooms, it's 1,250. But there's no requirement that you are required to put this system in before you get any kind of approval. Just, it's always been my understanding that you need to have on file an approved septic plan in case something goes wrong.
So if I were to sell the place... They wouldn't, would I be able to sell it as a 3-bedroom if I only have a 1,000-gallon tank?
Yes, because you have a contingent plan. You have a contingent, a hard copy that says, here's my backup plan. We've got a septic design. And that septic design can include a lot of things, like Mark says, replacement leach field. And it might also, I'm not a septic designer, add another tank to your existing tank setup. Typical tank setup might be a 500 and a 750 to give you your 1250, two separate tanks.
In your case, your leach field and might be in absolutely perfect condition.
Don't jinx me
and
now.
It may be even bigger than is required, but no one's going to know that until the designer goes out and looks to see what's there.
Well, I know I have a 1,000-gallon tank, so if it's supposed to be 1,250, I don't have it.
Today,
the leach field.
But you are not required to right. You are not, even if your leach field's too small, or by today's standard, you're not required to put in a new system, no matter whether some septic guy tries to sell you a system or not. Your responsibility is to have it on file.
So what if the designer came out, I only have an acre.
Yeah.
What if he came out and says, oh, you need this leach field to be blah, blah, blah.
No,
fit.
It's not going to happen. Because there are other types of systems. There are systems that take smaller footprints. So I don't want you to...
Don't panic about this.
It's not a panic.
Find a way to make this work.
What we're looking at here is a piece of paper.
Yeah. I know, all this piece of paper.
But it's part of our responsibility to follow the rules, and unfortunately the septic is part of this rule. You know, when you tried to sell a house in 2004, you tried it as a three-bedroom. And when you bought it, it was probably listed as a three-bedroom, although there's no record in the real estate records of a listing from 1996. Those records are long gone.
I know.
It doesn't really matter. What matters is we need a system that meets the rules. And that's a piece of paper that shows a future system if something goes wrong with the one you have.
That's not overwhelming.
Yeah.
No.
Well,
it's easier than it seems. Beverly, I'm assuming just you and your husband there, correct?
Well, I'm asking my daughter to move back in with us.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. But still, I mean, all these years that
you had two kids.
That's beneficial to the system because you've never overworked the system and had a lot of people, so that helps that keep your that system, the chances of that system is adequate and is not going to fail anytime soon is probably relatively high, because of that. But you still need the paperwork.
Mr. Chairman, can we consider a conditional approval provided she meets the 10 criteria?
Absolutely. Unless there's any other questions or comments,
I looked at a couple of these real estate sites, you know.
And
it's listed as it's shown as a built in 1986, as a three bedroom, two bath, single family dwelling. But that's not.
So it's always had three bedrooms, and it was designed.
That's not here nor there. It's not like.
Yeah.
Right. It might have been put in at time of construction, for all we know. We don't know when this ADU was constructed. Right. It might have been with part of the original construction.
Well, it was within the first 10 years before the Coles bought it.
Yeah, and the people that I asked, my neighbor, because she lived there before me, and she said because I says, I wonder if they did put this in when it was built originally, and she says, oh yeah, because the people that were there before me for 4 years did not put it in. They were just a couple too. Mm. They didn't put in an apartment or anything.
Okay.
So the cabinets and stuff, they must have, I know who built it, and he built it for someone, I believe. So that person must have wanted that cabinet and all that finished basement.
All right. Let's go back to
Boyd's statement.
It could have
been something that they had a mother-in-law or something that
they were building to
live with them.
If we, going back to Boyd's statement, if we went through the criteria, we could consider moving forward with this with a condition that says, all right, I'll get a plan drawn up, and I'll retain it. Do you want to proceed that way?
Yeah, I would.
I was going to suggest that we would. Is there no sense?
I don't think anyone here is objection.
There's no sense making Mrs. Cole come back again.
I know.
Have to follow.
I just thought we just had to apply, and then we would get it.
And you are.
And it's actually very simple.
Yeah, for $275, not $1,300, $1,500, or whatever.
No, it's not going to be that much.
No.
So you are
well, the plan, though, is going to cost something, isn't it, to drop the plan?
Yes.
That's going to be expensive.
It's going to be something of a price. And I do want to note that if you have somebody living in there and someone says something, or the building inspector goes there and it's not approved because you haven't done the design.
Oh, I would block it up if that's the problem.
The town would have to do that, too. They'd have to make her leave.
Well, why? Wait a minute.
Because it's not
because
it's not a living dwelling. It's
yeah, but it's my daughter's bedroom.
It doesn't matter.
She can live with her. Wait a minute.
Legal dwelling unit, so keep that in mind.
Yeah, but if there's no stove, that means it's not a dwelling.
The kitchen is set up as a kitchen. Right now it's not cut and it's not cow.
If we take the stove out, is what I'm told, that we can forget about it.
There's certain things that have to be done in the kitchen.
I don't know that to be accurate, because what makes an ADU is a kitchen, a bathroom, and a bedroom.
A kitchen.
Which is what they have in there.
There's a discussion, because again, I'm not sure where this information is coming from.
The building inspector, that he went in there for this inspection that she was talking about and found this apartment.
Yeah.
In here. So So we looked into it and researched, and there's no record of any type of permitting for this.
No, I understand that, and that's accepted. I think the Coles accept that too.
Yeah.
But the point of that, you know, what if her daughter wants to move in, mm-hmm. and the kitchen is not functional, I'm not sure where the other things need to be done. That's kind of a wide open statement. Does that mean tear down all the cabinets?
No, because it could of the piping, I said.
So remove, so we would, you know, in my mind, it was always, if you remove the stove, you don't have a kitchen anymore. You could have a wet bar down there because that's an entertainment place. You could have a refrigerator because you need that for the bar. But it's not a kitchen because it no longer has a stove. Now, that was always my unofficial interpretation of, if you want a kitchen to not be a kitchen anymore, remove the stove, cut the power to it, and you're done. You don't have to do anything else.
There's certain piping that you need.
What's the
other? I don't have any pipes.
You that's, gas? I would just, I would like it.
If
I
it's
like
gas, you have piping, so but if it's electric, would, this is just
they would
the
cut
plug.
Them and they would cap them. I'm just giving you information from what the building inspector told
me. It's still gas or electric.
So that
electric.
It can't be an ADU, I'm just saying.
So if it's an electric stove, you just pull out, could you pull out the breaker?
If you have a stove in there, it's an ADU. Right,
but if there's no breaker in the thing that for the stove, for the electric stove, there's no breaker in the box, the stove won't work.
You can check with the.
It's an electric stove, not a gas stove.
I would probably like to see some. I mean, the statements.
Because I wasn't there.
Yeah, statements are being made, and I don't. I'd like to see some.
We have to figure out
where those rules came from. That's all.
Yeah.
Kevin told me that. Pipes would have to be cut and capped. That's what he told me.
I don't know
me.
What pipes you're talking about. But.
Yeah.
Or the stove.
Why do we get?
I don't have any
whatever
pipes.
The piping is.
It's just
gas piping.
Electric.
No, we already determined it's electric. So it's just a plug.
So it's a plug. Mm-hmm. So I mean, you could unplug it or pull the breaker out of the box. I mean, sure, you could put it back in if you wanted to. But I mean, just you pulled the breaker out of the box, the stove's not going to work.
I mean, she could sleep upstairs. It doesn't matter.
Well, the thing is,
she's 41. I'd like to have her own space.
Of course. Yeah.
I
don't want to overthink it either.
We need to help.
I think this lady's trying to do the right thing. I think we ought to help her.
Okay.
So let me go over 1402 or 1504E.
Yep.
There shall be no more than one accessory dwelling unit.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to correct you. 502A?
That would be for the special exception, right? She needs a special exception
for the ADU.
Right, and then
so
she has to meet the criteria in 1504.
Okay. And we'll vote on each one of them, is that
right.
correct?
Is that all right?
Yes. I would say proceed.
There shall be no more than one accessory dwelling unit for any of this, for any single family dwelling. I agree.
Petron, aye.
Zod, aye.
Ramakaitis, aye.
Times, aye.
There shall be no more than two bedrooms in the accessory dwelling unit. Chivers, aye.
Petron, aye.
Zod, aye.
Ramakaitis, aye.
Hamid, aye.
Adequate sewer and water shall be provided. One septic system shall serve the entire property, and the adequacy of the system shall be certified by a licensed septic installer. We can make, we can
put a condition.
Address that yep. when we get to the end.
And the conditions, yeah.
But I still say aye, Petron, aye on that one.
I agree, yep. Chivers.
Zod, aye.
Ramakaitis, aye. Hamid,
aye.
And there shall be, did you get that, Mark?
Yes.
There shall be a maximum of 750 square feet for the accessory dwelling unit. Chivers, aye.
Petron, aye.
Zod, aye.
Ramakaitis, aye.
Hammond, aye.
On-site parking for one additional vehicle shall be provided. Chivers, aye.
Petron, aye.
Zod, aye.
Ramakaitis, aye.
Hammond, aye.
All existing setback requirements shall be met. Obviously, they're in the house. So
yep.
It has to be. Chivers, aye.
Petron, aye.
Zod, aye.
Ramakaitis,
aye. Hammond, aye.
Accessory dwelling unit shall be within the attached or main dwelling unit. We've confirmed that. Chivers, aye.
Petron, aye.
Zod, aye.
Ramakaitis, aye.
Hamid, aye.
Architectural enhancements will be employed for the purpose of maintaining aesthetic continuity with the principal dwelling unit, resulting in both units appearing as a single-family dwelling unit. You already have that. Chivers, aye.
Petron, aye.
Zod, aye.
Ramakaitis, aye.
Hamid, aye.
And either the primary or the accessory dwelling unit shall be occupied by the owner of the property. Chivers, aye.
Petron, aye.
Zod, aye.
Ramakaitis, aye.
Hammond, aye.
And lastly, finally, the current state building and fire codes for two-family dwellings shall apply. Chivers, aye.
Petron, aye.
Zod, aye.
Ramakaitis, aye.
Hammond, aye.
So, provided they can satisfy requirement 3, that they demonstrate they have adequate water and sewer or certification or whatever, however we want to work, how do you want it, how would you word that? That they demonstrate they have adequate water and service for this?
We'd grant the special exception provided that they produced evidence that the water in the septic tank, the septic system is adequate.
Okay.
Or met the provisions. No, they met the provisions of the state, the state requirements for.
That's right. But not that they have to install the system.
No.
Only that they have to have a plan.
Okay.
Well, I think they just have to prove that the system is, I don't even know if they have to have
a plan. How about we just make them confirm through a licensed installer that there's adequate sewer and water service?
I think the Article 3 is very clear, you know, certified by a licensed septic professional.
Right.
It's pretty clear.
Yeah. And I think
so
all they do is
that's all we need to make conditional.
That's right. So may I make a motion?
Conditions that they conditional that they meet the requirements of
number two.
Section
two.
Number three, right? Yeah. But further that, Tony already indicated that it is a 3.5 a 3-bedroom home. So it probably does meet it.
It met it at the time.
At the time.
Right.
So as long as it's still functioning, I don't know
yeah.
if there's a problem.
So
they just need the certification from the
okay.
septic designer.
Can you do that, Mrs. Cole?
So I have them come out and certify that I have adequate water and septic.
Septic,
yeah.
Yeah, I think the water's okay.
A functional well.
Yeah, I have a.
You have a functional
yeah.
well.
I know.
I'm
yeah.
assuming.
Everybody has a functional well.
Okay. Yeah.
So certified. What do I ask them? Certified that I have adequate.
Adequate septic
for
your
3-bedroom,
mm-hmm.
which is not the case. If they're saying it's going to be 1,250.
That's correct. But is it functional, and are they going to make a...
Right.
So if it's working right now,
yeah.
then he might... I don't know if they... Do they have to draw plans, or they say that it's functioning right now? And the thing is, as long as it's functioning right now,
that's right.
It's fine. It's only that they have to know that if it fails... Then you're going to have to replace the whole system.
Every prior ADU that's come before this board while I've been on it has had to provide a septic design on file with the state for the eventuality of a failure because of the potential change in use.
That's not true, Mark.
Go ahead,
when
please.
They come in here, if it's a 3-bedroom house and they're and their design is for a 3-bedroom field, we don't...
I'm not so well. I might respectfully disagree because, and again, I have not served, obviously, as long as you have, Boyd. But I know that in the ones that have come before me, I've always asked the question about the septic design, and I've been pretty much told on every single one, we have a design on file with the state, it's approved, and that information is usually supplied by Lisa because she has that information. So for the brief period of time that I've been sitting here, I've asked that question, and I've been given assurances that a plan was on file.
Okay.
So do you want to make a motion then for approval with a condition?
Here's the part that is not clear to me. Would you read
sure.
the septic and the water statement again for me, please?
Yeah, number three, adequate sewer and water service shall be provided. One septic system shall serve the entire property, and the adequacy of the system shall be certified by a licensed septic installer.
Okay.
We can get confirmation from a licensed septic installer that it's adequate.
So that statement is in conflict with information that has been brought to the board through the building inspector's office, where we need 1.5 bedrooms, 1.5 bedrooms for each ADU, and we need a design on file. I don't have that in writing anywhere. I have parroted that because that's the information that I received from the building inspector's office, but I don't have that in writing. No, and that article you just read does not indicate that. So where are we?
Well, we are stuck with the ordinance as written.
And the ordinance as written says you just have to have a letter, and other people have brought, Lisa, other people have brought letters from the septic, no?
No, I've always had septic designs for you guys.
That's been my recollection. So my question is,
so that's
where did this requirement come? that we have to have a septic design on file with the state, because it's not in that document you just read twice.
And that document doesn't say 1250.
And that's, well, no, that's the new state requirement.
So where is the disconnect here?
The disconnect is in the word adequate, because that could change from year to year based on state requirements.
My concern is that we've been ruling in a certain way based on information that's coming from the building inspector's office, and that does not match up with what you're reading out of our regulations.
That's fair enough. I think that's a fair observation.
Okay.
Well, what we've been doing is saying what they have has been verified, that until it fails, it is adequate. If it fails, then this design is on file. You have to have a design on file, because if something happens,
where's the commission like that then?
No, but again, maybe this is a discussion for after this particular
hearing. Right, we need to dispose of this case.
Okay, because this has been, it is a concern of mine.
Okay,
all right,
and it's valid.
We'll get that straightened out after this case, but you're right, Mark. That is a disconnect right there.
All right, so can we word it that they can have something on file, and if you've got to have a septic designer say, if this fails, here's what you're going to do.
So have a designer come out and draw it all up?
Does Jim Franklin
correct
do that?
The right terminology?
Jason Franklin is who I've been talking to with.
Yeah, they live in town here.
She talked to him today.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, why don't we just make it that the adequate sewer and water service shall comply with New Hampshire regulations. And that way the licensed septic installer will know whether he's got to draw up a backup plan.
Oh, I'm in favor of that.
Okay, and this puts it right on the licensed septic installer. So why don't we make this conditional, approve the accessory dwelling unit for Mrs. Cole here, subject to the requirement that she provide confirmation that adequate water and septic service has been provided and confirmed by a New Hampshire licensed New Hampshire septic installer.
This is what the RSA says. The applicant for a permit to construct an accessory dwelling unit shall make adequate provisions for water supply and sewer disposal for the accessory dwelling unit in accordance with RSA 485A38. But separate systems shall not be required for the principal and accessory dwelling units. In order to comply with this paragraph and prior to construction of an accessory dwelling unit, an applicant for approval for a sewage disposal system shall be submitted. An application for a sewage disposal system shall be submitted in accordance with RSA 485A as applicable. The approved sewage disposal system shall be installed if the existing system has not received construction approval and approval to operate under current rules or predecessor rules, or the system fails or otherwise needs to be repaired.
So it says.
So it basically says you've got to have the plan.
Well, I thought that basically said if you're constructing a new one, you have to have this, but if it's already there.
But if the existing system has not received construction approval, or the system fails.
Not failed, yeah.
And the system hasn't failed or otherwise needs to be repaired or replaced.
Yeah.
So I think that I think if you speak to a designer, he'll know what basically needs to be done. Unfortunately,
plans on file. Wait, that's an occurring theme tonight.
Yeah,
which is what Jason said today, and he did say he's the one that I spoke with and told me the 1,000 gallon is not adequate. They'll have to move up to the 1250 if anything happens.
If anything happens,
right. Yeah, and she will need to have design on file. He said that today.
He said it has to be on file.
No, he told me you're going to need to do a new design, and I told you that when you came in.
Right, but I thought, in
other words, you're planning for the contingency that the system fails, and you're ready to go.
Okay.
If in fact something happens.
I'll entertain a motion, please.
I move we approve accessory dwelling unit, provided they get confirmation from a New Hampshire licensed septic installer that there's adequate sewer and water service. If that's not the case, then they should provide backup a plan to improve that system should it fail.
Okay, is there a second on that motion?
I'll second that motion.
All right. Petron, aye.
Zott, aye.
Ramakaitis, aye.
Steinmetz, aye.
Chivers, aye.
All right. So we've gone through all this, and you've got it proved with the condition that you have to have a backup plan.
Oh, yeah.
So you get a hold of Franklin and say, I just need a septic design.
In a minute, you know.
You don't have to do any other changes unless something fails.
Okay, so.
Agreed, Lisa?
How many days would you like?
90? What's appropriate?
Jason said he himself, I don't know who she wants to go through, but he couldn't even look at anything for at least 30 days.
Speak up, Lisa.
I can't, basically.
He can't, even Franklin can't get to it for what, for 30 days or 45 days?
At least 30 days.
Let's do 90 days.
Well, it's conditional.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Well, see, nothing's gonna change here, it's already constructed, I mean.
Right.
And your daughter's gonna move in, and nothing's really gonna change, so 90 days or 60 days is gonna make no difference.
So you have to comply with that requirement within 90 days.
And if I don't, it's not approved, and they have to come rip out my stove.
No.
No, then you just call Lisa and say, I talked to the designer and he can't get here for another month.
What if we decide not to do that and say the heck with the whole thing?
I don't know what the rules are for dismantling.
I would recommend you don't do that. I think it's to your advantage to have the thing legalized properly.
Even for resale value.
For resale value.
It's sad. I've been paying taxes for a three-bedroom, two-bath all these years, and now all of a sudden we have to pay all this extra money for paperwork that I.
For a three-bedroom, two-bath, single-family dwelling.
It is a single-family.
Well, now you're gonna have another.
I'm not renting out, it's not a two-family, I'm not getting income or anything, rent.
But it's conceivable you could. I mean, you're not going to, but subsequently somebody could.
Your resale value will thank you.
So my taxes aren't gonna go up, are they?
Not really.
I have no on that, one way or the other.
Because I've been paying it the same all along.
If they would have gone up, they would have, when they revalued 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, they would have seen it.
Why wouldn't they say anything back then? If they came in, they reevaluated the town.
The assessor's not a code enforcement person. They're just making a statement, you know.
They don't?
Okay.
Yes.
We need to have the final vote.
So what do I do with, I go to him and then I send it here or her?
Yeah, you check in with Lisa, she'll put a note on the card, right?
Did we have the vote?
Is that right, Lisa?
Have the vote?
We did.
We did vote, yeah.
And do I get anything in the mail now about this?
Yes, you'll get a notice of decision.
Okay.
Exactly what we just said.
Okay.
That it's conditional for 90 days and here's what you have to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then at the 90 days after that, after I give her something, I'll get something else that says I have an approved dwelling.
No, really. You know, just come in with that letter from Jason, and you'll
get it. It goes in your file, and
you
don't have to do anything else.
And then it's because we've approved it on the condition that you get that. So once you get it, you've met the conditions, and you won't get any of the paperwork. Yeah.
It's the best course of action.
I know. It's just that it's.
And we are bound by certain legalities as well. We read through them all, and if you didn't meet those criteria, we would have to say no. But we want you to have reasonable use of your property, and so we want to say yes.
Right.
But by the way, there's a little condition. If you can just get over this hitch, it's all good.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for your understanding.
And if you run into time constraints and someone can't get to it within that time, but you've got something set up, let Lisa know, and it may be that you may just have to come to us and ask for an extension, which I'm sure that this board would be very happy to grant you whatever time you needed to do whatever you need to do.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Old business, approval of minutes of 9/28/21.
I move the minutes of the excellent minutes from September 28th be approved as presented.
I second that motion. Petra and I.
Zod, aye.
Charters, aye.
Romakitis abstain.
Okay.
I'm in, sorry.
Thank you.
All right.
I got to say, Lisa, you take the best minutes you can here. I mean, there's a lot of work involved here.
I know.
That's not a round boy.
No, I mean, it's.
Okay. Any other matter to come before the board? Do we want to talk about measurements? Do we need to go before? There's two potential issues. One of them that might warrant further discussion with the planning board is, how are we going to do the measurements? Are they exterior measurements or interior measurements? And the other issue is, how do we come to grips with that just not, those criteria you just read didn't say anything about 1250, yet it's a state requirement. Perhaps that ought to be reflected in the town requirements.
I don't think you ought to nail that number down. I think you ought to leave that fluid, because
that can change.
It could change it to state.
Just like the 12, just like the 1,000 gallon tank.
I'm in favor of that.
Yeah, it's got to conform with current regulations.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And so let's go back to the other issue of measurements, interior or exterior? Exterior excluding walls or interiors?
Why, is it going to ever come down to that?
Well, no, we've been doing that. We've been measuring interior walls and taking out like a foot on the, if you got a 20 by 40, so you take out 20 feet by 40 feet, now you're taking 60 feet off. So if you've got 750 feet, if it comes out to 750 feet, with that 60 feet that you took off, now you got 810, now you're over the state requirement.
Yeah,
and, it's kind of nitpicky, but it's real.
I don't know when we started doing that, but I was thinking about it one day and I thought, you don't have a building, you don't have a dwelling without walls. Walls are part of your dwelling. If you're going to take out the outside walls, are we going to take out the inside walls too? Because you don't live in the space around your bathroom, you don't live in the walls around. I mean, if you're taking walls out, that's not part of living space either.
We've also taken out stairwells. We've taken out knee wall areas that don't have full ceiling height. So it is definitely a moving target. And, some applicants that are right at the limit would prefer to interpret it as we're going to remove those things. And those applicants who are well under the don't really care one way or the other. Okay. But it is an interesting point, okay? I tend to lean towards inside dimensions. Now we have to talk about the walls and the stairwells and the knee walls. I mean, where is it come down to?
So, because if you're talking about walls and you're taking out the exterior walls, because they're not living space, how is that wall a living space? It's not. How are the walls around your bathroom, the walls around your bedroom?
Homes are measured externally.
They are. For assessment.
Because that's what makes your living space or your walls. Otherwise, you've got a gazebo or a screened house.
Yeah.
Well, the realtors sell, according to a gross GLA, what is it? Gross
living area above ground. And they derate the below ground stuff in a split entry or a finished lower level in a basement. So, I mean, there are moving targets. Again, rules are established in the real estate world because some agent will say, hey, I got a 4,000 square foot building here. And someone else will come in and say, really, it's only 2,500, and now you're asking for 4,000 square foot worth of money, but you can't count on, and the assessors don't give you full rating for below ground space when they assess the value. So depending on whose ox is in front of that cart, okay, everybody's got a different interpretation. And I think that's what's happened here through the period of time I've been here.
I mean,
that depending on who's...
Is this a problem we're trying to address?
I think we're trying to be reasonable with people. But if we think that 750 square feet is too small, then I think it's our responsibility to go to the planning board and say, look, we want you to change the zoning on this because we think 750 square feet is too small for accessory dwelling unit. The state allows 800, so we want all our accessory units to be 800.
And we'll use exterior dimensions.
Think about you. Everybody in this room knows. I mean, think about the 60s when they were building 20 by 40 ranches, and everybody was delighted to have 20 by 40 ranch, 800 square feet. That's an accessory, and we're talking about now that being an accessory dwelling unit.
Yeah.
Not being a house, being an accessory to a house. But that was a 2 or 3 bedroom house in the 50s and 60s. Then you drive through South Manchester and, around Memorial High School, and it's all, we were going by there then, and I was thinking, they're all ranches, 20 by 40 ranches.
Yeah.
So, and
well, is this
I mean, I just didn't understand. We've been doing this, and I thought, this doesn't make sense to me, taking out the walls.
Personally, it's not a problem for me, because I will always lean towards, more space.
But when you do that, then you're in violation of the state law.
I understand.
Because if it's 750, if it comes out to be 750, and you take out those walls,
you end up with
810 or 820 square feet. Well, now you're in violation of what the state allows.
But there's a state.
No, you're not. That 750 is the minimum.
No,
that's not the maximum.
No,
nope.
800.
800 is the maximum. Is the state maximum.
But the state, like...
The town voted to have 750.
Okay.
Likely, the state does not define whether you subtract or add walls. Likely, they just put 800 feet.
Even the state knows enough to get out of these little hair-splitting issues.
I believe that as a board, we can make those decisions based on...
And I see both sides of the argument.
Right.
But I also see somebody coming in and being a little over their footage and say, but I got a knee wall that is, what we've been talking about right along, unheated living space.
Okay.
So listen, so move that knee wall in a foot on each side and you've got it nailed. So but now it's an interior dimension.
We have as a board a way, if somebody's unheated knee wall has to be counted, we can have a variance or we could say, look, we allow it,
sure.
Because we've looked at it and that 100 square feet is in the knee wall, it's unusable.
Right.
So even though it puts you above the 750,
right.
We have to follow this next rule, and we'll.
If it's either put a bedded or a dresser into the knee wall.
You could, but we.
So that's not unusable.
I'm not.
You can't stand in it, but I mean, you could put a dresser the way the knee wall comes up. You put a dresser into it. You put a bed into it. Depending on how your knee wall is, but I mean, I know what you're saying, but I mean, we've been systematically taking out exterior walls when we're counting, and it didn't make sense. The reason I brought it just doesn't make sense to me, because that makes your building, the exterior walls. And I'm not trying to.
No, we've been consistent in how we do.
But I think that if you're gonna think that makes the dwelling too small, then maybe we should raise the size to 800 square feet. And they're working on zoning ordinances now, working on changes for zoning ordinance. So then,
I think we continue to chase the problem instead of dealing with 750. And what's inside and outside,
right,
and then the 800,
right.
And what's inside and what's outside.
You're right.
No,
you got to clarify that.
We've got to be consistent so that everybody comes in and says, here's my heated living space.
Well,
is it heated living space or not?
It is.
But
that's what's worked for us in the past.
But the thing that makes it heated living space is your walls.
That's
if
correct.
You don't have walls,
that's a good argument. But we have to decide which way we're going to go.
So you want
to... No, Boyd, I want to go by... You measure the building from the outside.
I think the walls
make the heated living space. If you don't have walls, you don't have heated living space.
And I see that argument,
and
too.
And if you're taking out the exterior walls, then logically you have to take out the interior walls, too.
I don't know that we're going to solve this tonight.
Think about it.
Does it make sense
to
continue it?
I'm thinking about it.
Can we continue this?
Oh, absolutely.
I just wanted to bring it up
because it doesn't make sense to me that if you take out the exterior walls because they're not living space, the interior walls are not living space either. The walls around your closet are not living space. The walls around your bathroom, the walls around your kitchen, the walls around your bathroom, a bedroom, they are not living space either. So if those aren't living space and you take them out, don't you have to take out the interior walls too?
Duly noted.
Okay.
I would like to request for the next meeting that we take a formal look at the septic system requirement for the ADUs. Because I read this and I still think we're inconsistent here. Okay?
I see both sides of that argument too.
The place to take a formal look at that is at the planning board. We don't write the ordinance.
He's right there on that. Actually, yeah, I'm seeing both sides of the argument again.
It's a
case of following a certain set of rules.
Anybody can write
it.
Then you go to the planning board because that's where it starts.
No, it's all about our interpretation, and that's, I guess, would be the discussion I'd like to have, Boyd. I didn't want to read. I read this and this law here, and it talks about, submitting the plan prior to construction. Well, obviously, most of the stuff we look at, the construction's already done for all intents and purposes, like tonight's case. So the way the law is written, it doesn't really fit what we're asked to do, and that our regulation that we follow there doesn't really match this either. So it's and I see your point, Boyd, where
such is life in reality.
Okay. So
but the last sentence puts that septic thing in there. The last part of that where it talks about the septic plan.
The approved sewage disposal system shall be installed if the existing system has not received construction approval and approval to operate under current rules or predecessor rules, or the system fails or otherwise needs to be...
Or the system fails or otherwise
needs to be repaired or replaced.
That's the part that they're talking about, or the system fails or needs to be replaced.
We can continue the discussion, and I would encourage you to come with a set of questions that can we resolve something or come to an agreement, and we'll discuss it. We'll discuss it at that point. It'll give us a chance to do some homework. And
would you like a motion to adjourn?
I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Is there a second on that?
I'll second it.
Second by Judith. Petra and I.
Zod, I.
Ramakaitis, I.
It's time to start.
All right.
Thank you, folks.
All right.
Thank you. We'll let Lisa turn off the recorders.